You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Today we're joined by photographer Karen Visser to discuss their sight loss and also their love of photography. So Karen, before we get into your photography career, can you tell us a little bit about your sight loss, please?
I was born severely myopic and grew up on a farm in South Africa. And my parents only really realized that I was severely myopic when, at the age of 5, it was clear I wasn't seeing the mountains or the flowers. And we lived in an environment where there was little opportunity to support people like me. So for most of my life, I really winged it in a sighted world until it became impossible to do so. I'm registered severely sight impaired. Growing up, I became interested in photography as a way of seeing, being able to navigate my surroundings. And partly because as a myopic, I have no depth perception. I see the world in small bits of detail, often distorted and put together.
So tell us then a bit about your love of photography and how that dovetails with your sight loss.
My photography became more of a focus in recent years when I had the opportunity out in East Africa to photograph children with disabilities and neurodevelopmental impairments. And the parents of the children and the teachers realized that I was sight impaired. At that point, it was becoming harder to hide it. And the support I had from parents of children with autism and epilepsy was really important in the sense that it made me feel I could support the way I was working as a severely sight impaired professional photographer. There are very few of us in the world who are professional and either blind, visually impaired, and I'm one of the last who was digitally trained. This means that, and this is, I think, the key that I would really like to share, is that I have a sense, using my other senses, of how to establish myself within my surroundings and also to build up a sense of space that I've had to learn from consistently and constantly photographing. And that means I don't go to technology to read my environment. And what concerns me is that many blind and visually impaired people, I think from reading on forums, are feeling inclined to simulate or emulate what they believe sighted people either see or what they feel that would be more tolerated by sighted people, particularly as we face uncertainties with our support that we are receiving as disabled people. And I have concerns about that because for me, the importance is, as a visually impaired photographer, I'm creating how I perceive the world, not replicating what a sighted person perhaps considers as a reality.
Now, you mentioned there about setting yourself up in the environment. How did you build on that skill over the years?
It is a skill that I've learned over decades, and I started initially with film and processing. In terms of learning how to perceive, for instance, depth of field, I've had to do that through very basic repeated lessons, which the South African photographer, the late David Goldblatt, a very fine photographer and a close friend of mine, he taught me. When he started to realize that there was something wrong with my sight and that I just lacked that understanding, I didn't have the cognitive facility, because myopia causes one to look close up in detail. And as soon as that you move, that detail disappears and you're onto another one and onto another one. So that I've had to learn and adapt. And then in terms of equipment, it's pointless having a lot of equipment if you can't see. So I have a fairly basic camera and one lens. I do everything because I know how to literally paint my surroundings. I know how to use my other senses to get a feeling of light, a feeling of dark, how I want to create atmospheres. I can literally stretch the capacity of my camera further than I know a lot of sighted people do. So I consider looking at it as an immersive experience. And that's for me crucial to the way I work, is using my other senses, immersing myself, and then the camera is really there to support me.
If you had to pick one photograph from your career that is a personal highlight, maybe not the most impressive, but the one that has got the biggest story attached to it, what would that be?
I think, yeah, the one that I would choose is one that's not about me. It's one that I made in Kenya of a mother and her child. And I made a promise to this mother that wherever I was, whenever it was possible, I would share her story as it's indicative of many. Her child had profound disabilities. He was seated in his mother's lap, and she was seated on a plastic chair in the frame of her fairly makeshift home. She was a teacher, but she couldn't work at that stage because she had to take care of her child, and her husband had sadly passed away. To photograph her, I had to stand in ankle-deep mud. There was some boarding outside that I could put my tripod on, but I remember looking closely and saying to her, "All I can do is help you with my camera, and I know that's not enough. May I ask you if you were to share your expression as a mother with a disabled child, what would you like the world to see?" And the expression on her face is one of stoicism, of strength, of love, of beauty. And her little child in her arms, the moment I have captured his expression, it's as though he's like a bird set free. And I've made a point always to share that, because I know that the support for people with disabilities in many rural settings around the world, particularly in resource-poor countries, is minimal, far, far less than what we have here.
Wow, that's amazing. My final question for you, Karen, is, have you got any advice for any of our listeners, perhaps in a similar boat to yourselves, blind or partially sighted? Maybe they've just lost their sight. Have you got any advice for them if they want to get into something, whether it be photography or anything else for that matter?
Humbly speaking, I would say that without my photography, I wouldn't be nearly as independent. I use my awareness, my experience, the skills that I've learned over and over, and adapt them so that I am able to, for instance, work my white cane on a daily basis. I have a way of reading my environment that I know is enhanced by my photography. And also, I sadly have a mother who's recently most of her sight, which was most unexpected. And the skills that I have, that I've learned through photography, I'm sharing with her, and I can see the level of independence she's trying to maintain. And that's through the knowledge that she's gaining from me. And I know that my photography has been instrumental in this. For anybody listening to this who perhaps is not particularly interested in photography, but might be concerned that they're not going to be able to go out in the way that they used to, may I suggest perhaps doing small things like around your home, registering textures, spaces, sounds, because that's what I do as a photographer. I'm really constantly aware of my environment. And by doing that, or in your garden, or just locally, you will keep as much of your independence for as long as possible. And that's crucial, particularly in the times we're living in, where we may not have the support that we would like, or it may not be as consistent as we would like.
Fantastic stuff. Well, photographer Karen Visser, thank you so much for joining us here on R&IB Connect Radio.
Thank you.